The Busy Marketer Podcast, Episode 8.
Hi, I'm BJ Smith. I spent the last 17 years of my career working in online marketing. Over the years, I've had the pleasure of meeting and working with many great marketers who've learned to use their valuable resources efficiently to build amazing businesses using tools like social media, email, search engine marketing, landing page optimization, and more. Now I'm giving you access to those marketing rock stars right here on the Busy Marketer Podcast. Human trafficking is a worldwide epidemic, a tragedy that affects women, men, and children. Men and boys throughout the United States are trapped in modern-day slavery, forced to sell their bodies. Currently, there are no shelters designated to serve male victims. That's where Restore One comes in. They're building the first residential care facility designed to meet the needs of these boys, where they will be treated as a unique individual using proven methods to nurture healing and restoration. You can help by purchasing one of their t-shirts, like the one I'm wearing in the show notes. Visit roapparel.com today. Today is a bit of a minor celebration. You see, most podcasts don't make it past 7 episodes. Seeing that this is episode 8, and I have guests lined up for even more episodes, that's cause for celebration. I want to give you a little preparation for my guest today and let you know why I chose him. Online marketers come from different backgrounds and industries. There's something we can learn from all of them, and it's often useful to look outside of your industry or your vertical to see what's working for other marketers and get inspiration from them to use in your own marketing plans. All of my guests to date have been e-commerce marketers, so today I wanted to switch it up a bit. My guest is a hometown favorite. In fact, you can see him every Sunday leading the band at my church. Oftentimes, it's easy to take some things for granted. I contacted Chris some weeks ago to find out who he looked to for inspiration in social media and other forms of online marketing. The more I thought about it, the more I came to realize that people should be looking to him for inspiration. You'll understand in just a few minutes. This is not only an opportunity to let you hear about online marketing from a different viewpoint, but it's also an opportunity to raise awareness for churches and faith-based organizations that are doing their marketing the same way it's been done for hundreds of years. If you want to grow, it's time to put down that newsletter and the bulletin and embrace new media. So let's get started. My guest today is Chris Lineberger. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, BJ. How are you?
Doing good. Chris is the 31-year-old worship and creative arts pastor at Ignite Church, a church that he started with his brother Jason and a few other passionate believers back in 2010. In the short time of Ignite's existence, it has grown to become one of the largest churches in Greenville, North Carolina, with roughly 1,500 attendees each week. An amazing feat in and of itself, especially considering they are still a mobile church with plans to build their first church building in the near future. Chris earned a degree in sacred music as a voice major at East Carolina University. He and his wife, Crystal, have 2 girls and a boy on the way. That's just a little bit of a warm-up for our listeners. Chris, please take a minute and tell us a bit more about yourself and some of the projects you're working on these days.
Sure. I'm glad to be on the show. And I'm actually from Eastern North Carolina. I'm from a little town called Beargrass near Williamson, North Carolina. And just like you said, I went to school for music and for voice, but I felt called into the ministry. And so that's why I'm obviously in a church. And me and my brother, we were a part of other churches. And we just kind of got the feeling that a lot of people weren't inviting a lot of people to the churches we were at or at really any church. And so we really kind of talked together and we felt led to basically quit what we were working and quit our jobs and start brand new to a church that could be really invitational to people's friends and their family. And so that's what we did. And we did that in 2010. And it's been amazing. It's been an incredible journey and God has blessed us. And like you're saying, it's crazy to see how many people have just started coming, you know, in the last few years.
Yeah, it really is. I grew up in a church here locally as well. And we were talking a little bit before I started the recording about what the average attendee is for some of these other churches in the area, traditional churches. And you were telling me 100 to 150. Is that, that's about right? And I remember we had 200 members of our church, but we were averaging 80 or less every week. And there was a peak because we were doing these feasibility studies about growing, you know, adding on and creating a new sanctuary back in the day. And one of the things that they said was once you hit 80% capacity of your structure, then you start to decline because it becomes uncomfortable. And you know, I guess we were peaking around that, and that was about 75 to 80 people in the, you know, in the church. It was interesting. So, yeah, I think the amount of people that we see at Ignite every week is amazing.
Well, and just, you know, some of the other numbers, you know, and the reason why we talk about numbers, I know with the whole marketing thing, especially if you're, you know, you're marketing a product, you know, our product is really the gospel, but it's also connections with people and families. But, you know, we may have about 1500 regular attenders, but we have an average of 20 to 40 first time guests every week. Like every week we have like 20 to 40 first time people. And so what's really cool is that whole culture of invitation of, I guess, marketing what we're doing is the church is kind of catching on and people are inviting people every week.
Yeah, that is amazing. And yes, we do have the majority of the guests that I've had on so far have been e-commerce marketers.
Sure.
Which is one of the reasons I really wanted to bring you in here, because online marketing is not just for e-commerce. There are so many other, you know, brick and mortar companies, organizations, nonprofits, churches, obviously. I want to share with you an avatar that I created a few months ago. And for those who don't know what an avatar is in this case, I recommend going back and listening to episode one of this podcast because I dive deep into the concept. But an avatar is the image of your ideal customer or target audience. Thinking of this avatar helps to guide you when making decisions for your organization. And this, Chris, is one of the avatars I created for the busy marketer for myself here. So here we go. My avatar is Brian, a 30-year-old associate pastor of a 6-year-old contemporary church. As a worship leader, he's in charge of setting the mood of the service with music, lights, and video. He's a creative individual that often ends up being the resident marketer by default, even though he doesn't have a marketing background. Because he wears so many hats, he is looking for ways to be more efficient and effective when marketing the church to members and the community. Chris, you may have played a little bit of role as an inspiration for this avatar.
Dude, I was like, that's me.
Well, look, man, you're doing many things right. You know, our audience can definitely learn from you today, which is why I asked you to join me.
Well, I'm excited to be on. I was like, when you're talking, I was like, dude, this sounds like me. This is like, I should know this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, when people are listening to podcasts or going to marketing websites and blogs and things like that, you know, most of the time these churches are thinking, well, what are other churches doing? But there's a lot of inspiration that can be had from outside of your niche.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, I want to have these folks listening to understand, you know, there's a lot you can learn here and from all kinds of marketers that we have on and vice versa. You know, there's some folks who are in e-commerce or brick and mortar restaurants or whatever that can learn a lot from you today as well. Start us off by talking about your philosophy. What is your mantra when it comes to the way you run your marketing?
Sure. I got two thoughts with that. One is, especially with the social media, is just share something that's worth sharing. You know, like if, especially with something like Facebook or Twitter, if I'm going to put something on there, if it's an event for the church, if it's something that happened on Sunday that we want to share to other people, let it be something that it excites people or that someone that's not even a part of the church can get on board with it. And if it's good enough, then they'll share it with their friends. So instead of, you know, I think in our personal lives, obviously we may share the food we eat. We may share, you know, very small things and our friends enjoy it. But sometimes in the marketing world, at least with the church world or maybe with e-commerce, if it's a product or if it's a story that happened on Sunday, let it be something that is going to inspire people or that some people, they definitely want to see it. You know, I don't want to just put something that only gets a couple of likes or a couple of views. If I'm going to put it up there, I'm strategically putting something up there that has the potential to go viral or at least impact a bigger crowd.
Right. If you're in e-commerce and you're selling a chair, don't just put a picture of a chair. Put it in a beautiful location or sure. give it some sort of story.
Exactly.
Where people can put themselves, you know, in that scene.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other kind of philosophy, so I had share something that's worth sharing. And the other thing was assume that there's still one person that hasn't seen it yet. You know, I think usually by the time, at least in our staff at the church, we've heard the sermon series or we've heard the event, you know, a million times and we're kind of tired of hearing it. But the truth is when we've heard it for the 100th time, that one person, that could be their first time. And so when I share something on Facebook, you know, sometimes people are like, have you already shared that a million times? I'm like, yeah, but there's still other people that haven't seen it.
That's right. And
that's, so I always think of that audience of one, who's the person that hasn't seen this yet or hasn't experienced this yet. Yeah. So those are kind of my two thoughts that I really go for.
Yeah, I absolutely don't have a problem with recycling content. Again, like you said, if it's worthwhile, I've had past experiences on Facebook, put something out there, a beautiful picture or a contest or, you know, something, sure. again, like you said, that's worthwhile, that did really well. And you go back, you know, a week or so later, different time of day, different day of the week, you post the same thing and your interaction is almost identical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so those are kind of the two things that I stick with when sharing, especially on social media or putting content out there to people.
Yeah. Good job. Chris, this is the part of the show that I've come to refer to as the group therapy session.
Okay.
Us marketers relate to each other by sharing our stories, our successes, and our failures. So are you ready to begin?
Sure. Yes. Let's go into it.
All right. I'm a big believer in learning from past mistakes. Most successes are the result of lessons learned from trial and error. So tell us a story behind one of your greatest failures, then tell us what you learned from it.
Sure. Well, one thing is kind of this is pretty recent. Instead of diving, I guess, way in the past, it's pretty recent that we had kind of experienced, I guess, a setback, or you could call it a failure, even in the social marketing or even the church world. You know, we're a portable church. We are right at we just celebrated our 4-year anniversary, so this is going into our 5th year. And 2 years ago, it was kind of insane, but as a portable church, we had the vision to go ahead and plant another portable church into a 30-minute down the road location, because we probably had 60 to 80 you know, congregants, people that were going to our congregation that were driving from another location in Martin County, which is 30 minutes away. And so it was kind of like, let's go and start a church here. We've already got a lot of people. We raised the finances to do it. We marketed it well. We did, you know, there's a lot of other churches that they do multi-site, so they do these experiences, and it looked like everything was in order, and even though we were only like 2 years old at this point, we kind of felt prepared that we were going to do this, and once we had launched the experience, we had marketed the experience as pretty much an identical service to what was happening in Greenville, so that means that on Sunday morning, you and your wife could be sitting in Greenville getting the live you know, the live sermon, the live message from our lead pastor, Jason, who's actually my brother. At the same time, there would be a congregation in Williamston, and they are getting the same feed, but they are getting the sermon over video. And we did all of our research before this started, and we had marketed that this was how it's going to be. And we had gotten permission from the principal to be able to use their internet to allow this technology to happen. So basically, to stream HD video, you have to have very fast internet in both locations.
Right.
And we had acquired the technology to do that. We had gotten permission from the principal to do that. And so we thought that everything was going to be fine. So when we did our prep services, everything was great. Well, when we officially launched, which would have been not this past January, but you know, the previous January, we found out that the school board, we did not know that we needed permission from the school board to be able to use their internet. Even though the principal gave us permission, once the school board found out, they kind of shut us down, because then it was kind of a weird relationship between the church, I guess, and the education system as far as can we use their resources. And so the truth, what we've learned is like that when you market something that's supposed to, you know, be identical and this is what it's going to be like, you need to do your homework. So once you launch the product, or in this case, we launch the service, it's what we've been advertising. And so long story short, a lot of those people are still coming to our church, but after a few months in of trying to do something different than was the original intent, it never really happened that way. And people were actually driving to Greenville instead of staying in Williamston because the service just wasn't identical like they thought it was going to be.
Okay.
And so what we did is we actually shut that campus down. And so on the outside, it looks like a failure because it's like, oh, we you know, we spent time and energy and resources in doing this. But in the long run, we're a church that wants to plant multiple churches. We learn so much about being prepared. And when you're out there marketing, make sure that the product or the experience that you're marketing is actually going to happen. You know, so when we plant another church, we're going to make sure that not only do we have permission from everybody to use the internet, even if we have to get our own internet resource, but we'll do the extra homework before we launch something. Does that make sense anyway?
Absolutely. I mean, that's perfect. That's exactly, I mean, that's the whole point of these failure stories, is there are lessons, there's takeaways from it.
Sure.
And, you know, not only is that something that you've learned, you know, it's, think about the time and the investment that you, that the church made into this campus, into this project.
Yeah.
And look at it as tuition cost.
Exactly. That's right. So it's, And I think that's what's been so great is that our congregation, the people of our church, instead of really, you know, being, I mean, you're kind of heartbroken at first about the initial thought of, oh, no, what happened? But then it kind of gives you some anticipation of, well, the next time we know we can do this because we did it. And if the technology would have worked, we know it would have been a success. And so it kind of gives fuel for future projects because we've learned from our mistakes.
Absolutely. And we're hoping that there's somebody who's listening who's planning to do the same thing and, you know, they won't make that same mistake.
Yes, please talk to, if it's at a school, talk to the superintendent of the school system before you use their internet, for sure.
There you go. Well, Chris, let's talk about efficiency.
Sure.
Busy marketers, whether they work for churches and faith-based organizations or e-commerce companies or brick-and-mortar stores, they're all swamped with tasks because our world is always changing. Mm. New opportunities are around every corner. New channels, technologies, and bright, shiny objects are everywhere we turn. We have to make smart decisions and be more efficient so our core marketing channels don't suffer. Share with us a time when you made changes to become more efficient. Tell us a story and what steps you took.
Well, there's a couple things that I've done in the past to become more efficient, really with, especially with social media marketing. You know, when we started the church, I know I looked around and honestly, I had never been invited to another church service through social media, like ever. You know, people, I guess, would normally just invite if they saw you someplace or if they had a flyer, they'd pass out. But I had never been invited to a church service just through social media. So the first thing we did when we started the church is we were like, let's just make a Facebook event for the actual church service. And like that way, the, you know, the people that are coming, they can kind of let us know that they're going to be there. But also it's a really easy way to share with hundreds of friends with just one click. So we started doing that. We've never had a weekend where we didn't make an event for the actual church service. And we have people sharing it every week. And so that's been something that we've done. The other thing that I learned is we started, you know, just doing updated posts, whether it was, let's say we had a missions project and Third Street is a community center here in Greenville where you can partner with them and do landscaping projects or projects for the community downtown. Well, I found out that if you use a thumbnail, which is, you know, a picture or a movie, or you just create a thumbnail in the tag, that the views are outstandingly better. I don't even know if outstandingly is a word, but you know, they're just, they're that much better because I guess when people are flipping through their news feed, see the thumbnail and the thumbnail catches them. So, you know, we may have, you know, 150 likes when we use a thumbnail with people picking up rakes and leaves in somebody's yard, but you could have the exact same post without that thumbnail and you may get 20 likes. And it's just because it doesn't catch people's attention without the thumbnail. So if you're ever looking at our church, you'll notice that almost on every post, whether it's a video thumbnail or an Instagram thumbnail, I just tag a thumbnail along with it. So that way it catches people's attentions. And so using the power of pictures, video, things like that to go along with our social media, it has made a world of difference in how effective all of our posts are.
Right.
And also, you know, we want to do things that are going to kind of be viral, meaning that I know most of your listeners will know what viral is, but if I enjoy it, I'm going to share it, and then they share it, and then if hundreds of friends share it, boom, it's gone viral. And if it's a video or anything like that, then it has a good chance of people sharing it because they get to see what you say. They get to see what you see with the video or with the picture.
Yeah.
And then I did. This is another thing, and I don't want to bombard you if I'm giving you too many things that I've learned. One thing that we do as a church, and it may be crazy, but every first time guest that comes to our church, we get their VIP card, which is a very important person. That's their first time guest card. When they turn it in, since I'm kind of in charge of the social media stuff, I'll add them as a friend to myself. So that way, one of the pastors, they have a face to the pastor if they need to get it with someone. But on Facebook, it allows us to add them to a list. And so let's say, BJ, it was your first time at our church. You turn in the card. I would send you a friend request and just say, hey, BJ, I'm Pastor Chris. It was great having you. If you have any prayer requests, let me know. But then I'll also add you to the Ignite list. So therefore, anytime Ignite's doing something, you would be invited to that. And you would obviously have the ability to not be invited if you wanted to get rid of that list. But by just adding the first time guest to a list, now when we invite people, it's into the thousands, because now all of our first time guests, I'm kind of connected to through Facebook. And so we started doing that, and we've seen a huge impact by doing that as well.
That's a great tip. Well, Chris, you know, I get you and my other guests to tell these stories for a couple of reasons. And I think you're doing a great job. One is to give our listeners ideas, which, you know, you just handed out a bunch of them. You know, these ideas stir their creative juices, you know, and the other is to let them know that they're not alone. Again, that was the group therapy session part that I was talking about earlier. It lets them know that none of us are perfect. You know, I don't want people to get frustrated and give up. Anyone can make changes to become more efficient. You know, they can take lessons learned from their mistake and from our mistakes and turn them into successes.
That's right.
So share with us a story of success, you know, a decision you made or a campaign you launched that had the most impact on you personally.
Sure. One of the things that we've done, and there's lots of great stories that come out of this, but I'll just kind of tell you the overview of what we did is we created a Facebook group for our church, and a lot of churches now have that. And it's funny, like I said, I'm not saying that Ignite paved the way for this at all. I just know that when we started the church, I didn't see many churches with Facebook groups or doing much on Facebook. But one thing that we've done with the Facebook group, which that means is a private group that if anybody wants to be in it, we have a link on our website and all over the place where you can ask to be a part of it. All of our first-time guests, they can be a part of the Facebook group. But because it's closed, so that way people can share needs, prayer requests, different things like that in kind of a private environment, so that way it's not totally public. And when Hurricane Irene came a couple of years ago, it was, I guess, in August a few years ago, this is where the power of Facebook, social media, and the church just being the church really was put to use. A few of the families' roofs got damaged. There was all kinds of damage throughout Greenville and beyond. And what people in the church started doing is they started posting their needs on this group. And I didn't know it was going to do what it did, but I mean, the response on social media is immediate. So if a tree landed on my house, if someone had a chainsaw, I mean, right then people responded. And this is what we saw. And we saw so many testimonies come out of this. I mean, and this was crazy because some people met each other for the first time through Facebook through this tragedy.
Wow.
But all the needs were met where, yeah, chainsaws and shovels and rakes and all these things were being donated and people were showing up at others' houses and removing stuff. It all happened with really in a few days because of Facebook, because of this thing that kind of we created, this community. People were able to meet each other's needs, and that's what the church is supposed to be about. And so the success story is just seeing what can happen when people do enter into a community on social media, and we we kind of created that. We didn't create the social media, but we used it as a tool. And the more we convince our congregation to use it as a tool, the results, I mean, people's lives were changed because people were able to help them with their homes and with their yards and with their damage. And it was just a real positive success story, really just of how our church can be the church through social media.
Yeah, and that is absolutely the point of social media. I like to say that most people who use social media, from an organizational standpoint or business standpoint, they use it as a megaphone to stand up and shout their message out at everybody else. And it should be a telephone, a conversation piece.
That's good.
And using it socially to connect all these other people, I mean, it's exactly what social media is about.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it, the telephone and the megaphone. That's really good because that's exactly what we want. We want people, especially now that social media has become so big and people are on their phones all the time. I mean, the truth is people don't call each other as much as they used to. But man, if they would just interact with each other on Facebook like you would on the telephone, then, and that's what we've seen people do, you know, is that you can have this community even in this technology world that we live in. And it's been really awesome.
Okay. I didn't prep you for this question.
Oh no.
Church marketing controversy. Is it okay to shoot Instagram photos in the middle of a service?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yes. 100%. Like, and one thing at Ignite, which is funny, is we actually have it used to be you'd never want to have your phone in church because I guess it would distract or you'd be scared that it could ring or something.
Yeah.
But we actually have a video that's during the service that actually encourages you to pull out your phone and to check in or to even, you know, like right now we're doing a series on heaven. Right. And if people want to tweet or Facebook status, we encourage them to do that right then. There's also a feature on Facebook where you can check in where you're at. And like we try to tell everybody, if you check in that you're at church, you know, pull out your phone and do that. All of your friends, they will see that if they go to your profile or if they're on their phone, then it'll be on their newsfeed at that time. And so you're promoting, you know, you're promoting your story, you're promoting your faith, you're promoting that you're at church without having to get in somebody's face and even do anything. And yeah. So it's kind of a cool way to do it. So yes, you can Instagram during church, hands down.
I love that video, by the way. all right. Let me branch off of that for two quick questions and then we'll jump into our five questions. One, I guess it's not a question, it's more of a comment. You guys give Foursquare no love. What's up?
Dude, honestly, you know what's crazy? I probably should jump on the Foursquare deal. Now, Foursquare, like, look, don't make fun of me now. I'm pretty big into social media, okay? But because if I'm ignorant in a few areas, don't judge me too harshly. Foursquare is where you can become the mayor of certain places. Is that correct? Like, I could become the mayor of, I don't know, the coffee shack or some other place. That is correct. Which someone told me they were doing away with the mayor stuff. So I don't know if that's true.
That's what they say.
Hey, okay, so maybe they won't.
I've got Swarm. I haven't noticed, but I tell you what, when I go there on Saturday, by the way, you're talking to the mayor of Ignite.
Oh, nice. See, that's great that you are.
All right, I'll check in with the new Swarm app, which is Foursquare is branching off. So I'll check in with it on Sunday when I show up. If it tells me I'm the mayor, then we'll know that it's still there.
Well, and you know, we would, like I said, I know that a lot of people use Foursquare. And so the truth is that we probably should just jump on it. The reason why we mainly use Facebook and Twitter is because one, it's very easy just to copy and paste your same post, or they all incorporate thumbnails. You know, everything is searchable. If you put a hashtag on Twitter, then people can search the hashtag and, you know, those kind of realms, which Foursquare, the truth is, I just don't know much about it. And so I think if I would educate myself, I probably would want to use it.
Yeah, I'm really just picking on you about Foursquare because you guys always say, you know, check in with Facebook.
Yeah.
I check in with Foursquare and then Foursquare posts to Facebook and to Twitter for me. So I kind of get all, it's also connected to Instagram too, so I can check in through Instagram. But Yeah. I'm just a old codger. I don't think anybody uses that anymore. So,
well, I would love to check it, but now it's got a new name, right? What's it called?
Swarm. It's still part of Foursquare, but Foursquare, I think they're trying to go after Yelp.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, yeah, good luck with that. I guess if anybody can do it, they can. But
that's true.
So the game part of it, the check-ins and all that stuff, is moved to the new Swarm app, which I think they're going to take that functionality out of the Foursquare app eventually.
That's what I must have heard. Okay.
Yeah. Another question. I can't remember what it was.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, actually, I don't know if this is a question for you or if maybe you're your college pastor would be better at answering it.
Sure, I can give it a stab.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about Facebook. We've talked a lot about Facebook today.
Sure.
And there's all this hype going around, and it depends on who you ask, but they say that the young generation, the college students, which you guys are amazing at getting college students, just aren't using Facebook. Have you seen a decline in the use?
Honestly, we have not, and that's the reason why we still use it. But I mean, obviously, I mean, with the news and with everything else, I have heard that. But I actually, you know, kind of tried to observe if that was the case, because if there's a better outlet for us to advertise and for us to get the word out, that's what we're going to jump on. I mean, you know, that we're going to be a part of where people are, and so if people stop using Facebook, we're going to stop marketing with Facebook. But what we've seen is that they use both. And I think that's because the invention of the iPhone and the smartphones all together is that, like you were saying, you can check in with Foursquare and also, you know, post with Twitter and on Facebook all at the same time. And so what we're finding is that people are using both, and they're able to do it from their phones very quickly. And so we haven't seen a decline. We definitely use Twitter now probably as much as we do Facebook, at least with the college students. Our college campus ministry has its own Twitter feed. You know, our church has its own Twitter feed. Some of the posts are, you know, we just mirror them and they're the same, but other ones are college specific or maybe more church specific. But no, I mean, a lot of college students definitely still use Facebook for almost all their stuff. And so that may be happening nationally, but at least here in the East, you know, we're in the South. We're kind of slow. So
if
the trend is slowing down for Facebook, it hasn't hit us yet. I don't think.
Well, you know, and let's say myth busted, because I've read all these statistics, but the truth is, yes, they may not be your teen crowd and your college crowd may not be checking Facebook 100 times a day.
Sure.
Like your 30 something still do.
Sure.
But the fact is, they, you know, they're using the Instagrams and the Vines, Snapchats, you know, all these other programs, but they still use Facebook. It's not like they've abandoned it completely. It's just another outlet for them.
Agreed. Yeah. And that's what we've noticed, is that they still use it. They just use other stuff as well.
Yeah. Well, great. Chris, thanks for sharing these stories with us. Busy marketers are taking it all in. Before we jump into our five questions segment, let's take a break to thank our sponsors. Today's sponsor is me. I have a great new program that I just released called the Marketing Bridge Program. Are you ready to take your marketing to the next level, but don't have time to do it yourself, or you can't justify bringing on a new staff member? My Marketing Bridge Program is designed to help you fill that gap between doing it yourself and the moment you're ready to hire a new staff member. To learn more, check out my video at thebusymarketer.com/bridge. Let's have a little bit of fun, okay? Not that we haven't been having fun already.
I'm scared.
All right, it's time for our five questions.
Okay.
These are short answer questions, but feel free to elaborate on any of them as you see the need. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What advances in online marketing are you most excited about today?
The multi-platform integration, like we had briefly talked about, is awesome, that you can post something on one thing. Like, we use a program called iContact, which is our email marketing, but it will post through email, it'll post through LinkedIn, it'll post through Instagram, it'll post through Twitter, and it will post through Facebook all at the same time. And so you know, with one click of the button, you send out 5,000 emails, and also you've posted it to all your platforms. And so the recent multi-platform integration is huge. And then the other thing is the instant stats on Facebook, like our Facebook page for the church. You know, if you're administrator of that, you see in real time how many people you're reaching instantly. So with every post, how many people saw that post, how many shares there were, how many people are engaging in it. And those statistics, they did not have those a year ago. You know, so within this year, now as the administrator, you can see what posts are getting the hits. And between last week and this week, are things declining? Are things better? All of that is great, because now you as the user can just make adjustments because you see what people are doing. So
great.
Those two things.
Yeah. And a little word of warning to everybody, a little word of warning to everybody out there listening. Those platform integrations are great. Just make sure that you're making the appropriate tweaks to each message so you're talking to your audience the right way, because your Twitter folks, I've said this 100 times, in this brief little bit that we've had the podcast, but if I go to Twitter, and I'm a big Twitter user, Twitter and Instagram are my go-to platforms for personal. But if I get on Twitter and I see somebody that's got a post that doesn't make any sense because it's truncated and it's got a fb.me link at the end of it. I know that they posted it on Facebook. They linked their Facebook and Twitter account and they created a post for Facebook without Twitter in mind and just blindly, you know, pushed it to Twitter. That drives me insane.
I agree. And what that means is that people aren't going to look at the weird one.
You're going to get unfollowed if you keep doing it. That's what happens, you know?
No, you're exactly right.
So programs like the iContact and Hootsuite and Buffer, you know, those are all really great programs and they can really save you a lot of time. But again, you know, make sure that your message fits
its platform.
Awesome. Okay. If you could choose a conference to recommend to any online marketer, what would it be?
Well, this is a funny question and it's not a funny question. It's a great question. But the truth is I've never been to a social media or online marketing specific conference. As a pastor, obviously we go to a lot of church conferences that are all really geared to reaching people and how do you get people into your churches. And so I guess they can kind of be related. Some of the church conferences that are just for leaders in general, it's not even technically Christian specific. There's a conference called Catalyst, and that's basically in Atlanta with the pastor Andy Stanley, and he has a lot of other big people. But they're teaching on leadership and how to lead your people, and also how to get people in the doors if you need to make changes. But I did look up because I had a feeling you might ask me this question. I did look up a great conference. At least it had a lot of great reviews, and you probably could speak if it's not. It's called the Social Shakeup, and it's in Atlanta every year, so it's only 8 hours away. But apparently it's a two-day conference, and they have lots of panels, lots of leaders, and it's supposed to be very practical. That you actually take something away,
right?
And it's by Social Media Today, and like the event's called Social Shakeup. And so with the conferences, as long as you're going to some place that you're taking something away that you can make immediate changes or strategies, you know, like if you just get a lot of information and it's so overwhelming that you have no place, you don't know where to start. That's the only thing that I would tend to stay away from.
Yeah, great. And you mentioned Andy Stanley. I heard him speak at LeaderCast a few weeks ago. Actually, it was at the convention center.
It was the
same place where we have Ignite Church.
It's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great speaker. I really enjoyed that. Okay. If you could only use 3 social media platforms for your church or organization, which would you choose?
Well, definitely Facebook, definitely Twitter, and for us, YouTube. And we haven't talked about YouTube much, but as a church, you know, we do a lot of video. We record every service. We record all of our worship sets. We record all of that stuff.
Right.
And so what we want to do is on YouTube, we put the content up there and now immediately it can be shared. And so what's awesome about that is that it integrates itself. I put it on YouTube and then I share it on Twitter and on Facebook. And now everybody can go to our church without having to actually go to our church.
Yeah, that's really great. Do you guys still use Vimeo at all?
We do like Vimeo. Honestly, it's really a financial decision between the two. Vimeo does HD video, but you do have to pay for storage. So after 50 gigs of storage, you have to start paying. And it's an annual payment every year for the additional storage to keep all your old video. Right. YouTube used to never allow you to go over 10 minutes. So therefore, we couldn't put our sermons on YouTube. We had to use Vimeo. Well, now, as long as you become verified, which is free now through YouTube, you can put an hour-long video if you want, and they have unlimited storage, and there's also more viewers on YouTube than on Vimeo.
Yeah. You know, I was a big Vimeo fan back in, 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
And it was because they had HD. You know, they had the high-quality stuff.
Sure.
And honestly, I've had a lot of usability issues with them over the last few years where I'll try to watch a video and it'll sit there and it'll choke. You know, like the bandwidth coming out of Vimeo is not very good. It wasn't necessarily a restriction on the bandwidth that I had because I could watch the exact same video in HD on YouTube and not have any problem streaming it.
Exactly.
And YouTube is a massive search engine. People don't think about that. It's Google.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so we get so much more out of using YouTube. Like I said, we still have some of our archives on Vimeo from when we started. Our first 2 years we used Vimeo, but now we've crossed over to YouTube. And I mean, we have thousands of people all over the world that watch our videos literally every week. And so it's really cool. And Vimeo, we didn't have as much of that just because you're right. It's not connected to Google and YouTube is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's amazing. That's cool. Okay. So what is your favorite time-saving tool that you wouldn't want to live without?
Well, I know this sounds terrible. I mean, most of us here, at least on staff, we're Mac people. Now, I love PCs. I'm not down on PCs. I was a PC person forever. I still will use a PC if I have to. But we all have Apple stuff here. And so because we use Apple computers, we all have iPhones. And I will tell you, without the iPhone has been the biggest time-saving device. And I'm sure if you have any kind of Android, it's the same thing. But with social marketing, I can be at an event. So let's add an outreach event, raking leaves. I do a picture of the leaves. I post it to Instagram or to Facebook or to Twitter. And immediately it's online and people can share it and people are seeing the stats in real time. The old way of doing things is I would take a picture with a camera. I would go to my computer, upload it, have to wait for the internet to work. And then hopefully, you know, after 5 hours after the event and all this work, hopefully somebody would see it. So honestly, just the technology with cameras and on the phone and all the apps with social media, being able to do it right in your pocket I couldn't live without my iPhone. Yeah. I say that. So there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've actually seen, saw a few, let's see, who was it? I'm trying to remember who I know I've seen Jason on the stage using his iPhone for sermon notes.
He uses it for sermon notes. And it's funny. We have one of our band members. He has his iPad and on his iPad, he has like music notes as far as like, you know, what he's supposed to be playing, but he will randomly pull it out and take a picture of the congregation, you know, like in between.
Sets. Oh, really?
And nobody knows he's doing it. And dude, people post on it like crazy because it's kind of from his perspective, this is what it feels like to be leading worship at Ignite. You know, it's kind of cool.
Who is that? I've never seen
Stocks. He's the guy. He plays a electric guitar. He usually wears hats.
Yeah, I know, man. I used to work with him.
Yeah. He does that all the time.
How about that? I've never noticed that at all. That's pretty cool.
He does it. He does it like a ninja. No one even knows he's doing it. You know?
Yeah. Awesome. All right. What is one book that you would recommend to every busy marketer?
Okay. So you might laugh or whatever, but this is very funny and serious, I guess. So I know there's a lot of books out there. Honestly, the book that I would recommend, and it's just practicality. It is obviously spiritual too. And the answer to that is the Bible. Okay. Now, yes, there's a lot of spiritual truth in it. A lot of the people listening to this may not believe in the Bible or believe, you know, in Jesus or any of that stuff. But the reason I say that first, and then I'll have another answer as well, is because like the whole Christian movement, even if you're an atheist and you deny that God exists, you can't deny that there was this guy named Jesus. And now there's, you know, millions and billions of believers in 2000 years, something happened to where this guy was marketing something pretty well that other people bought onto it or believed in it enough to share it with the whole world, you know? Right. And so what I was thinking about this book, the Bible and marketing, I was like, if people would just do what Jesus did, even if they don't believe in his message, if they would just go to where the people are and you're so convicted about what you are either selling or teaching or preaching that you will have people buy into your message because of the crowd, because of the amount of people listening, you will have followers and believers. And that's what Jesus did. And obviously, you know, he helped a lot of people, and us as Christians, we believe that he's God. But even if you don't believe that, you can look at it from a total marketing sense. And like, if you're not marketing where the people are, then why and what are you marketing? You know? And so I know that's a long drawn answer, but when I think about why would we use Facebook? It's because people are on Facebook. You know, when you asked, well, would we, you know, if Facebook dies, would we be okay with not using it? Definitely. There's no need to market where people aren't. Right. And so that's why I say the Bible, and you don't have to read all the Old Testament, but if people are just willing, well, how did Jesus convince, you know, 12 people to then tell thousands of people that then told thousands of people that now there's this whole thing, Christianity, what it is today. And man, if people can market their products that way, go where the crowds are, make it so believable that you have to believe it, you follow it, and then you'll tell somebody about it. That's what we do at the church. That's, you know, and I think that's what any good business person would do, is they believe in their product enough, they have to tell people, and they want to go to the cities or they want to go to Facebook where there's millions of people, and that's their platform. So, but if you don't want to read the Bible or you don't want to do any of that stuff, I actually have movies, because there's a lot of people like me that would rather watch movies than read books. Okay. And just the convictions of watching something like The Social Network, which is about obviously the creator of Facebook and how he did the things that he did and why he did, because he knew there was an audience out there that was waiting to be captured. And even I recently watched the movie Jobs, which is about Steve Jobs, and Ashton Kutcher like played Steve Jobs. Anyways, through that, you just see the passion that these people had with their products and how are they going to market their products to change the world. And so in both, really in the Bible, The Social Network, and in Jobs, you see three characters that have changed really the world because of their convictions and their marketing strategy. And so I've kind of learned a lot from those.
Great. As far as the Bible, do you have a translation that you prefer?
You know, honestly, I love the ESV, the English Standard Version, just because it is readable, but it also is kind of, it's like the King James in a sense. It's kind of a word for word translation of the original text. If you'd rather have something that's more, I guess, very easy reading, but still, you know, it paraphrases it in an okay way. The New Living Translation, some people are against it, but as long as you're reading it in the right context, it's a good reading Bible. If you're going to read the Message, it's a great storybook, but if you're trying to like do a study Bible, the Message is not the Bible that you want to do a study Bible with. So I do the ESV.
Great. Well, Chris, thanks so much for your time today. Tell us a few ways that we can connect with you.
Yeah. Well, you can go to our website. The Ignite Church website is www.ignitechurch.com. If you go to the staff page, my email address is up there. It's just chris.lineberger@ignitechurch.com. And the burger is B-E-R-G-E-R. Everybody thinks my name is L-I-N-E, like hamburger, but it's B-E-R-G-E-R. I'm all over Facebook and on Twitter. You can find me through looking through Ignite Church, or just look up Chris Lineberger. And I usually don't do too much research before I befriend you, unless you spam me and then I'll defriend you. But, you know, I haven't started a blog yet. I should start a worship blog. I know that those are big. So when I make one, I'll give you the website for that.
Oh, great, great. I'll be glad to help you out if you need any.
No problem.
One last thing before I let you go. Since you are the song man,
sure.
Is there a particular song that you guys do at Ignite that I could take you out with?
You mean like me sing it, or you mean you?
No, no, yeah. I'll go get it.
Okay, great. I was like, dude, I haven't even worn my voice, man.
Oh yeah. There's a professional right there.
Yeah, honestly, dude, there's a new song. You could find it on YouTube, or you could download it from iTunes. We've just been really listening to it. It's called "You Make Me Brave." A girl named Amanda Cook from Bethel Church sings it. But even like I said, even if people listening to this aren't believers, I mean, it's really encouraging. And so it's called You Make Me Brave. We did it this past week for the first time and it went really well.
Yeah, I heard it was great. Well, cool, man. I'll look that up. And instead of taking us out with the normal funky jazz, I will I'll see if I can get that music and put that in place today. In your honor.
Thanks, BJ. You are the man.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate your time, buddy.
Hey, no problem. It's been a lot of fun.
Let's hear it for Chris Lineberger. Okay, so I told Chris that I would play Amanda Cook's You Make Me Brave to take us out of the episode. Because of licensing restrictions, and this is a broadcast, I can only play about 15 seconds of it legally. So what I did is I went to YouTube, I grabbed a copy of Ignite, Chris and the group playing it actually at church, and I'm going to take a few seconds of it. We're going to listen to it and take us into the next segment. Enjoy. You've heard it here from other marketers on the Busy Marketer podcast that Hootsuite is one of the best ways to manage social media accounts. Hootsuite's unique social media dashboard allows organizations to manage multiple social media networks, engage and identify their audience, and analyze their social media campaigns. You can sign up for a free 30-day trial of Hootsuite by going to thebusymarketer.com/hootsuite. And now it's time for a long overdue listener question. I skipped it on the last podcast since the interview went so long, and I skipped it again last week altogether because of the holiday weekend. Our question this week comes from Allison. That's Allison with a Y. I don't know why that matters, but I mentioned it anyway. Allison asks, in each episode, you ask your guests what three social media platforms they would use. Which ones are the best, and why only three? Thanks for your question. I think if you listen to the answers I get from my guests, there's no right answer. I know that's kind of a cop-out, but I phrase the question the way I do because I want their knee-jerk reaction. You'll notice that I don't ask their personal choices, nor do I ask what they would use for their business. So when I ask a question, it's very open-ended, and I want to hear what they think off the top of their head, not specifically thinking about their business or for themselves personally, just whatever's off the top of their head. The answer I give my clients when they ask which social media platforms they should use is that it depends on two things, really. One, where are your customers? And two, which platforms do you like to use? In episode 7 with Mark McKnight, he shared the story of a time when a member of his team came up and asked if she could maintain their Pinterest account. She enjoys using Pinterest. She understands Pinterest, and that makes it a great platform for her. Before she came along, Rock Creek wasn't doing anything on Pinterest because Mark just didn't enjoy it. Now they have over 1 million followers and are one of the biggest brands on Pinterest. If you don't have some passion and connection with that social media platform, it's going to be more of a chore, and it's not going to be something that you do well. Now, go back to the first part of my answer. Where are your customers? You may love using Pinterest, but if your customer is a 55-year-old male, Pinterest may not be your best use of time. Again, we're talking busy marketers here. We're talking efficiency. So the use of your time is important. You can do some great, you have some great pictures, but if your customer's not there, you're wasting your time. You could be doing something else better. You have to find a balance, and it may take some experimenting. So why do I ask them to give me 3 social media platforms? I don't believe the hype that says you need to have a presence in every social media platform, or at least in the major players. I think that that's a load of junk, honestly. Nobody has time to do that. And if you can't do it well, you shouldn't be there at all. I think 3 platforms is about the max that anyone can handle, unless social media is your only job. And even then, it might be questionable. Remember, you have to not only communicate to your audience, but you have to speak to them the right way, that the way that is appropriate for the platform. And you have to listen and respond. You know, as your following grows, you'll have to do more and more to make sure that you have the right amount of time to do so. To wrap up, when you're trying to figure out which social media platforms to use, ask yourself these 3 questions when evaluating them. 1, are my customers there? Do I enjoy using this platform, or is it going to be a chore? Do I have time to use this platform? Thanks for your question, Allison. If you have a question you'd like answered on the podcast, head over to thebusymarketer.com/ask. I truly do get a kick out of doing this. I hope you're enjoying it as well. There's no way that you're having as much fun as I am, but I hope you're enjoying the podcast. We're going to wrap up today's episode of the Busy Marketer Podcast. Head on over to my website for show notes and links to everything we've discussed today, including Chris's contact info. Go to thebusymarketer.com/ChrisL. Yeah, I had to throw the L in there because he's our second Chris on here. If you like what you heard today, I would appreciate you leaving a rating and review in iTunes or Stitcher Radio. We need lots of stars and written reviews so that more listeners like you can find the podcast. Tweet a link to the podcast by going to thebusymarketer.com/love, which will create a post that you can easily share on Twitter. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thebusymarketer and follow me on Twitter at @BJSmithStrategy. Thanks again for all the love and support. Until next time, remember to focus on the important tasks and have a productive week.